This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the ladies of Clued. Tonight we have a very special guest with us, Sheikh Jamaluddin. So our very lovely guest, she is both a Quran teacher and various Sharia sciences at the Islamic College of Australia, Sydney. She has studied the Quran at Darul Huda, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and has an ijazah in tajweed from her teacher, Sheikh Karima. She has completed her BA in language majoring in Arabic and University of Sydney, and studied books of knowledge over 10 years from many Arabic scholars. She has recently graduated with BA in Fiqh and Usul Fiqh at the Medina International University, and has also completed the memorization of the Quran. She is also married with 5 children, mashallah, and has delivered countless inspiring lectures, courses, conferences, locally and internationally for almost 20 years. Allahumma barik laki. That's amazing achievements. Thank you so much for joining us, Jamaluddin.
Barakallahu fiki. Thanks for inviting me. Barakallahu fiki.
How's your Ramadan going?
Wallahi, alhamdulillah. It's going very fast.
I know, subhanAllah. We are already entered the last 10 nights of Ramadan.
SubhanAllah.
And on that note, could you please give us some tips on how we can maximize our deeds for the last 10 nights?
Yeah, sure, inshallah. Yalla, bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So I think, first of all, I just want to say that for a lot of people, I know the feeling when you get to this part of Ramadan, because a lot of people just felt like, where did those 20 days go? Like, or 20 or 21 days, right? Mm-hmm. It feels like it just went like the blink of an eye. A lot of us are feeling like we just haven't done enough. You know, a lot of people can even feel deflated at this point, right? But what we have to keep in mind is, wallahi, from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala and His lutf, which means His gentleness to us, He actually made the best of Ramadan at the last. Like, He kept the best of Ramadan to the last, right? And there's actually a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he says, "Innama al-a'malu bil khawatim," so that the deeds are according to their endings. Deeds are according to their endings. So it's, you know, how you end Ramadan is more important than how you began it. So even if you've had a bit of a rocky start to Ramadan, maybe you've been really off track this Ramadan, you know, you haven't been able to do much at all, and you're feeling quite despairing over yourself, look, just know that this is the cream of Ramadan now. You know, just do the best you can now, you know, and don't let your beginning of Ramadan define your end. Okay, so I think that's really, really important. And then you're talking about how to maximize your last 10 days. Realize that these are the best nights of the whole year. Okay, we have to know that this is the best nights of the whole year. And the rewards for the deeds done these nights is greater than any other nights of the year. So if you keep that in mind, that already gives you the idea of how much you need to maximize these 10 nights. Okay, but then from amongst these nights is one particular night, which we don't know exactly which night it is, but most likely it is the night of the 27th, right? And whoever does deeds in this night, as we know, Allah Ta'ala tells us that's khayru min alfi shahr, right? Better than doing ibadah for 1,000 months, or 83 years and more than 83 years and 4 months worship, right? So it's definitely in one of these last 10 nights. And as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, it's going to be in one of those odd nights. And he said, you know, he said look for it in the odd nights. And then most likely it's the 27th, but we don't advise people to put all their eggs in one basket, you know, just in case, because there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars as to whether, you know, is Laylatul Qadr the same night every year, or does it move to other nights? So that's why it's not advisable for people, because a lot of people do have that habit where only on the 27th they, you know, pray tahajjud and do qiyam and the rest of the nights they don't pay attention to it at all. Okay, we don't advise people to do that. Right. We would say try to do ibadah in all of the nights. But yes, put your maximum effort into the 27th in particular, because there are from the Sahaba who used to swear by Allah, that's how sure they were, that the night of Al-Qadr is the 27th. Right, like Ubay ibn Ka'b, like Ibn Abbas, like they were so sure that it's the 27th. Okay, so there is a precedent for believing that it's the 27th, but like I said, you just don't put all your eggs in one basket. And so I'll talk a little bit about what to do. It's good to talk about what to do on the night, or even during these nights in general. So put more effort into your odd nights. Like I said, you're talking about how to maximize these nights. Put more effort into the odd nights, because it's, look, most of us, I'm speaking, I suppose the audience is mainly sisters, right? And from those sisters, you've got working mothers, you've got sisters who study at uni, you've got, you know, mothers who, you know, they've got small children. And we all know it's very difficult to expect us to stay up every single night. You know, we can't do it. It's just not possible with the commitments we have during the day.
That's right.
So therefore, as you said, you're talking about maximize, you have to prioritize. That's what it comes down to, prioritizing. So it's not that you don't put any effort into the other nights, but it's just that you prioritize your nights and just, you know, as I said, pay more attention to the odd nights, and especially like the 27th night. Put your maximum effort into that night. But yeah, what to do on the night. So basically, you know, you would, it depends if you're going to the masjid or if you're praying at home. So you're going to pray tarawih. You may pray tarawih with the imam if you're praying in the masjid. You can complete the prayer with the imam. If you pray witr with the imam, you shouldn't pray witr again, like later on in the night. But if you want, what you can do is you can, once the imam does witr, you can stand up and do an extra rak'ah.
Okay.
And then then do taslim. So make your witr odd. Make your witr even. Yeah. So that then later on you can go home and you can pray qiyam during the night. And then towards fajr, you can pray your witr yourself. Okay. So let's say you're praying in the masjid. That's what you do. You could pray with the imam until he completes the prayer. Because actually there's a hadith that mentions whoever prayed with the imam until he finishes, it's as if he prayed the whole night. Okay. So you want to try to get that reward. It's a way of maximizing your reward, right?
Okay.
Then you might go home. You might read Quran for a while. You know, sit and read Quran for a while. And then, you know, divide your night up, like make your night colourful. So read some Quran for a while, then maybe you do some dua for a while, you know, do some tasbih, do some, get your dua book out, and, you know, sit and read all, you know, the duas you read, for example, even the ones you say, for example, in the mornings and evenings, you can say some of those duas.
Morning and evening as well.
Yeah, you can just say them, like you can just get out some of those duas, or duas for istighfar, you know, get those duas out, read them. You know the book, The Fortress of a Muslim?
Yes.
It's got a lot of du'as in there.
A little booklet.
Yeah, so you can just get that out and, you know, just read those to yourself, like, that can help you. And then personal du'as as well, right? But besides that, do a lot of tasbih. Like, you can just sit and do subhanallah, because imagine that everything you're doing in that night is khayru min alfi shahr. Like, it's better than, you know, subhanallah, than 1,000... You know, so it's as if you had lived a lifetime, basically. It's as if you had lived 83 or more years, and you've been worshipping Allah that whole time.
That's amazing.
You know, yeah. So then, as you come towards the morning, like, I mean, before Fajr, yeah, the early hours of the morning, that's when you really want to do a lot of tawbah and istighfar, right? That's when you want to try to really kind of... What I could say is basically try to break yourself down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like really let out those raw emotions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just really call upon Him by His beautiful names, and, you know, like Ya Ghafoor, Ya Ghafili, Ya Rahman, Irhamni, you know, really, really open up and really open your heart, like just really break yourself down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to do that, like reflect on your life. Like, it's really important that we use this time for reflection, okay? Because if you think about most of us, we are just in a rat race all year, okay? So Ramadan is our time to just really renew ourselves, renew our connection with Allah Ta'ala. So, you know, you really want to be reflecting on yourself, thinking about your life. How are you going in your life? You know, this life is one life. You know, we're going to be asked by Allah Ta'ala about everything we've done. And we can't come back. Once we die, we can't come back and do this life again. You don't get a second chance.
That's right.
Right? So this is why Ramadan's reminding you of that. Like, and Allahu A'lam how many more Ramadans we have to live.
That's right.
Okay, so if we're not making the most of this Ramadan, yeah. Allahu A'lam if we're going to be destined to live one more. Okay?
And it's just a blessing to be able to be alive in the last 10 nights of Ramadan.
Absolutely.
It's just a blessing. Like, I feel blessed to be alive because we have been seeing, you know, people passing away during Ramadan and even before Ramadan, they didn't reach their Ramadan and they thought they would. And alhamdulillah, we're here and inshallah we can do our most best.
Absolutely. You've got to remind yourself, like, there's actually a statement by one of the scholars, Ibn Jawzi. He said, if the inhabitants of the grave were asked, you know, to wish, like if they were able to have a wish, they would wish to come back and have one more day of Ramadan.
One more day.
Because of how much, you know, how great are the rewards. So imagine if they just wanted to come back for Ramadan, then what about if we're talking about the last 10 nights? And what about if we're talking about the night of Laylatul Qadr? Okay, how much would you wish to come back if you knew, if you really knew, like, how much blessing and how, you know, how many hasanat are, you know, to contain within these nights, you wouldn't want to waste them. But unfortunately, a lot of us, we just don't realize.
We take it for granted.
We take it for granted.
SubhanAllah.
Absolutely. So this is what I suggest people do. Like, the main thing really is, like I said, just really making sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, you know, okay, so there's a few du'as I recommend. Like, for example, if you say the dua of Yunus. So du'as that kind of really show your weakness and poorness before Allah. So for example, the du'a of Yunus is La ilaha illa ant subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin, right? So don't just say it once, say it many, many, many times and really feel how you have been from the wrongdoers. Like, how much have you neglected from the rights of Allah Ta'ala? Like, how many of us have been, like, slack with our deen? You know, we've missed of fasting, which we never bothered to ever make up, like from years ago, or, you know, we haven't paid zakah, or we haven't bothered to go to Hajj when we had the ability, and like this, you know, and then there's so many sins we've fallen into, right? Who of us does not have sins? Like, over the year and over the years, how many sins have we, you know, built up and we haven't made tawbah for? We haven't asked Allah for forgiveness. You know, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was said that in every sitting, they could count 70 times he was asking Allah Ta'ala, you know, like making istighfar, you know, 70 times in just in one sitting. And like, look at us, we go day by day, week by week, we don't even ask Allah, we don't even say astaghfirullah half the time, you know? And so, can't you see how our hearts, then we're wondering, why don't I feel, you know, softness when I pray to Allah? Because, or why don't I get moved when I hear about Allah and the Akhirah, you know? Because we don't realize the hardness that comes in our hearts because of all this built up. Like, think about it like a car. Like, you don't wash your car, what happens? Just grime and, you know. So this is what we need to do. We need to really just break the shackles from our hearts in Ramadan by, like I said, sincere tawbah, like reflecting on your life, reflecting on yourself, thinking about the hardness. If you can't cry, like, it means we've got hardness in our hearts. We need to, you know, really ask Allah for forgiveness to get rid of it. So going back to those du'as I was going to mention, so that du'a of Yunus, even there's a beautiful du'a that Adam alayhi salam said, رَبَّنَا إِنَّا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So, Ya Allah, verily we have wronged ourselves. And if you don't forgive us and have mercy upon us, we're going to be from the losers. Like, ultimately, if Allah does not forgive us, subhanAllah, how are we going to enter Jannah?
That's right.
You know what I mean? None of us can enter Jannah by our deeds, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. Like, none of us will enter Jannah by our deeds. So the only way, the only hope we have to enter Jannah is if Allah has mercy upon us.
SubhanAllah.
So that's what we, this is what everyone has to understand. What is this about now? What these 10 nights is about begging Allah for His forgiveness.
SubhanAllah.
You know, because the only way for us to enter Jannah is if Allah has forgiven, you know, He forgives us and has mercy upon us in these nights, and He makes us from those who were saved from the fire in these nights. So that's what it's all about, and that's why there's that dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Aisha radiallahu anha, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Right? Allahumma innaka afuun, Ya Allah, You are al-afu, who You love to pardon. Tuhibbul afwa, You love to pardon, Ya Allah. Right? Fa'afu anni, so pardon me, Ya Allah. Right? So, and don't just say it, like I said, don't just say it once, say it over and over again, and really think about what that means. And how much do you want the forgiveness of Allah? Like, you have to show Allah. This is what these nights are about. Showing your sincerity in how much you want Allah's forgiveness and you want Him to save you from the fire. That's what it's about. So this is what, yani, so I know, like, I'm talking about sisters who, for example, might feel like they can't do enough.
Yeah.
You know, they're feeling a little bit like other people are able, maybe they can't even pray right now, you know, and they might be feeling like, but you, all of us can make that sincere dua, and all of us can break ourselves down before Allah, and we can all make tawbah, and we can all, you know, really just, you know, humble ourselves in these nights to Allah and really beg Him for His forgiveness. All of us are capable of doing that, no matter what our situation.
That's right.
So focus on that. You want to maximize, if you want to maximize these 10 nights, that is the main point I would suggest for everybody, inshallah.
So obviously you were saying about the sisters who can't pray, and obviously when, you know, when we're in the state of menstruation, we can't. Do you advise us to read the Quran, or, and what are the other tips that you can advise for the
people? Yeah, sure. So look, if a woman is not able to pray or fast right now because she's in her state of menses or nifas, you know, postnatal bleeding. Yes. Yeah, so what she can do is, look, I take the opinion that a woman can recite the Quran, but without directly touching the Arabic Mushaf.
Okay.
So
so if it has the meaning, she's fine to touch it?
Yeah, I should clarify. So if you've got like an English translation,
yes,
that's not considered as a Mushaf.
Okay.
Okay. If you've got like a tablet or, you know, iPad, that's also not considered as a Mushaf.
Okay.
Okay. If you're going to actually read from the Arabic Quran, like the Mushaf, you should only touch it with a tissue or turn the pages with a pencil. Don't directly touch it, because, you know, a person should be in a state of tahara to touch the Mushaf. All right. So if you take that opinion, then you can be, you know, spending your night, like, for example, you know, reciting Quran, revising whatever you've memorized. Like, maybe you've only memorized Juzamma, for example, or you only know how to recite Juzamma. Go and read Juzamma. Read Juzamma during the night. Read it a few times. Doesn't matter, you know? That was going to say, like I already mentioned, what you can do, the same thing. Instead of doing the prayers, like, the best thing you can do, let me say this too. The best thing you can do in these nights is to actually stand in prayer and recite as much as you can. You're allowed to hold the Mushaf, right, while you're praying. That is the best, because the prayer combines everything. The prayer, you've got the prayer, you've got the Quran, and you've got the dhikr of Allah, and you've got the dua in the sajda. So the prayer combines everything. But when you can't do that, you go for the next best option, which is reciting the Quran, right, doing lots of dhikr, and, you know, doing dua, tawbah, like all those other things I mentioned. That's what sisters can do, but they should kind of basically have like a little bit of a schedule for the night. And, you know, of course you can give sadaqah, you can do things like that too. So, and if you've got to look after your baby, well then you just put your intention, try to, everything you're doing, put your intention during the night that I'm doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Allah ta'ala sees what you're doing. Like, the beautiful thing about Islam is that nothing is wasted with Allah.
SubhanAllah.
But the most important thing is, we do it for the sake of Allah. Like, make whatever you do for the sake of Allah, and then nothing's wasted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah, that's amazing. And also, I wanted to ask you, so obviously the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. So sometimes we do read the Quran but we feel a slight disconnection. What are your thoughts on how to reconnect with the Quran?
Okay. So, look, people have different situations. Mm. So let me just talk about the person who doesn't really know Arabic first, because that's a lot of people out there, okay? And that obviously is going to have an effect. You've got to understand, if you don't really have a strong understanding of Arabic, then realize that that's part of the reason why you don't have that real connect with the Quran, okay? But that's not to say you can't have any connection. Just because you don't know Arabic doesn't mean you can't have any connection at all. Like, I mean, alhamdulillah for myself, you know, I started out without any Arabic whatsoever. But look, what you can do, look, we all know that how many of us have been going through a situation and we've opened up the Quran, you know, our English translation I'm talking about here, right? Mm. Open up your English translation and you just, for example, maybe even made dua and said, Ya Allah, guide me. Like you said, guide me in this situation, right? Mm. And you just randomly open up the Quran somewhere and you start reading. And subhanAllah, Allah put something in your heart to give you the answer. You know, so that shows you that this is how you connect with the Quran. It's not something, you know, it's about your intention, actually. If you've got the intention that you want to get close to Allah through the Quran and you realize that this is the words of Allah, right? And let me say this, this is with absolute certainty I can say this, that there's not one word in the Quran except it's there for a reason. So if you keep that in mind, that's the words of Allah. He's literally speaking to you with these words, right? And there's not one word in that Quran except that it's there for a reason. So you have to ask yourself, what is Allah telling me through these words? Like, there's something mentioned by one of the scholars. He said, one of the scholars, he said that the way that they used to view the Quran is like rasail min Allah. Yeah, meaning messages from Allah. Like, that's how we need to be thinking, that this is all messages. This is all, like, there's something Allah is trying to tell me in these words. So either he's trying to, you know, for example, one example, Allah Ta'ala gives us many different descriptions of the people of Jannah, right? What is the akhlaq of the people of Jannah? What is the character of the people of Jannah? You know, what are the deeds of the people of Jannah who are heading towards Jannah, right? So when you know that, that's, you know, then those descriptions are there for a reason, because Allah Ta'ala wants you to know what are those descriptions so that you can implement that in your life. And similarly, he gives us, you know, the descriptions of the munafiqeen, or the kafirin, you know, the disbelievers, right? Yeah. So when you're reading it like that and thinking that's the characteristics of the, you know, the ahlul nifaq, like the people of hypocrisy, or that's the description of the ahlul kuf, the people of kuf, so then you realize that those are the characteristics that lead to the fire, and you want to be far away from that. You understand? So, so it's all about, like, realizing that, you know, when Allah is telling us about the Christians of the past or the Jews, they did certain things. And why is Allah telling us that? Not just to tell us a story. You're supposed to realize, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to also do that too. Don't follow their path. Don't fall into the same mistakes and the same sins that they fell into. Do you understand? So if you understand that it's whatever Allah's telling you, because it's for a reason to develop you, right? So if you understand that, then you'll be responding to that and realizing that I need to take heed from these words. I need to think about how I can implement that in my life and change myself.
Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a hadith about the people who are struggling to read the Quran get more reward than people who are fluent in the Quran, is that right?
Yeah, so for example, that's with regards to recitation. That's regards to recitation. So, like, if somebody struggles to recite the Quran, they get double the reward, while the one who's able to recite it fluently is, like, you know, they're on the level of, like, with the angels, subhanAllah. So, I mean, that's with regards to recitation, but we're talking here about, like, actual connecting with the Quran, you know what I mean? And that, anybody can connect with the Quran, even if you don't even understand Arabic. But naturally, like I said before, if you have Arabic, the words of Arabic are so powerful. Okay, yeah, the way I describe this to people, to make them understand that we should all be on a journey with Quran, right? I always encourage people, everyone should be on some sort of journey. Like, every Ramadan you should get to see some change in yourself, that you're better than the previous Ramadan in your, in how much closer you've come to the Quran each year. Yeah. Okay, we shouldn't be on the same level. Like, yeah, sadly, a lot of people, they don't go to learn, you know, Quran, they don't learn how to read it, and they go for years and years and years. And that shouldn't be the case, because we're actually depriving ourselves from all this hasanat of, you know, reading, being able to read it and feeling the sweetness of reading it.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Like, why do you think that people just stay stagnant on, you know, reading the Quran? Where they think that they've done enough, when clearly, you know, we need to be obviously revising the Quran and learning more correctly how to read it with the tajweed and etc.
Look, I just think that they haven't realized that it's like it is a journey, and you can go deeper and deeper. And we've got to remember that whoever loves Allah Ta'ala, if you really love Allah Ta'ala, then you should be close to his words. Like, you cannot claim to love Allah unless you're actually close to his words.
That's right.
All right, because this is literally his words. Okay, so how couldn't someone claim to be close to Allah if they're not close to his words? It's the only way you can have really, because after the salah, which is our number one connection to Allah, then the Quran is our ultimate. It is our ultimate connection to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala.
That's right.
You know, it's Allah speaking to us. You know, so it's what every day by you reciting the Quran and you understanding what Allah's telling you, that's what strengthens your iman. You know, it solidifies your iman, and it also shapes your aqidah as well, in the way that you need to have. You know, especially in this, like our times now, really, no one can afford to be away from the Quran in these times.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You need to be close to the Quran, because that's what's going to save you. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So before we wrap up, can you recap for us maybe some tips before we go on how to maximize? Just recap on what you were just saying.
Yeah, sure. So look, with regards to maximizing, like I said, pay attention in particular to the odd nights, in particular to the 27th. Put your maximum effort into the 27th, but don't let the other ones go to waste either. Focus on your main thing, the main goal of your ibadah in these nights. Work as hard as you can with whatever you can do. Like, if you, not everybody can stand long amounts of time in their prayer. So, you know, pray lots of different, it doesn't matter how many rak'at you pray, keep praying. Like, if that's what you're able to do, keep doing that, you know. But split up your time between praying, reciting Quran, dhikr. But the main thing Allah wants to see in these nights is your sincerity, right? He wants to see your sincerity. He wants to see how much you really want Jannah, how much you want to be saved in this month, you know, from the fire. And, you know, subhanAllah, so just, that's it, sisters. Like, show, and brothers, if any, of course, brothers are listening, show as well. Sorry to let everyone feel left out. But, you know, that's what Allah wants to see from us. And that's Yani, what else, you know, what more, you know, subhanAllah. So, you know, just try that, do everything you can and do whatever it takes. And then have trust in Allah, that Allah's never gonna, you know, like, Allah never causes the deeds of the, you know, the muhsinin to be lost. He never causes the deeds of those who have ihsan and try their best for his sake to be lost.
That's
right. So just have husn al-dhan in Allah that, you know, he's not going to, despite whatever your situations, subhanAllah.
Subhanallah. Jazakallah khairan for your time, Jamaluddin.
Barakallah.
We really appreciate you coming on, and inshallah we take all the advice that you've given us on board, and may we reach Laylatul Qadr.
Allahumma ameen.
Ameen. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And this is the end of our Clued TV. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.